One of the first printed copies of the Declaration of Independence is on display today in Philadelphia. It's a feature attraction at the Museum of the American Revolution, which is just two blocks from Independence Hall, where the Continental Congress approved the text of the Declaration 242 years ago today. Here and Now's Alex Ashlock visited the museum last summer, and we thought it would be a good day to play his story again.
Philadelphia is filled with revolutionary history, with iconic sites like Independence Hall and artifacts like the Liberty Bell. But this is the first time that history has been gathered together under one roof.
One thing you should see, We have this portrait of George Washington. He's wearing a blue sash. We actually have the sash also. It's right below it. It's the first time the two pieces have been together since it was painted in 1776.
The blue silk sash was part of George Washington's military uniform. The general wore it across his chest because he needed something, as he put it, to distinguish him from other officers. He was not yet famous enough to be widely recognized. It's just one of hundreds of items on display at the new Museum of the American Revolution. You can see muskets, powder horns, read letters and diaries. You can even stand under an 18-foot-tall steel replica of Boston's Liberty Tree, a gathering spot for patriots before the Revolution, where British tax collectors were hung in effigy from the branches. Philip Meade is the museum's chief historian.
There's a piece of real wood embedded into this fabricated tree, and that's a piece of the last surviving Liberty Tree. After Boston, other cities imitated the example and started gathering sons and daughters of Liberty around their own trees, and Annapolis had one which fell in 1999, and so visitors are invited to touch a piece of history. You can actually lay your hand on a piece of Liberty Tree.
A video puts you on the front lines with the outmanned 3rd Virginia Regiment on September 11, 1777, facing a British Army charge in the Battle of Brandywine. The Redcoats were bearing down on Philadelphia, which they would capture later that month. The Museum of the American Revolution held a big opening ceremony on April 19th, the anniversary of the shot heard around the world, the opening salvo of the Revolution in Lexington and Concord. In his keynote address, former Vice President Joe Biden said the new museum represents an idea.
An idea that ordinary people could do extraordinary things. It truly was a revolutionary idea.
It's an idea that still resonates in many different ways.
Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory.
During the museum's opening ceremony, actor Sidney James Harcourt and a group of singers performed History Has Its Eyes on You from the musical Hamilton. That Broadway hit has made the revolutionary era cool. Nicole Carter and her two young boys were visiting the museum from Richmond, Virginia. What do you guys think of this museum?
Love it.
Yeah, we like learning about the history, right? Who's your favorite person?
Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah. So the Alexander Hamilton musical got them very interested in revolutionary history. So they were excited to come and see everything, right?
Yeah. The song History Has Its Eyes on You recounts a moment in Washington's war tent, the general giving Hamilton a sword, a symbol of his promotion to his command. The tent, made from linen, still exists and plays a central role in the new museum. A film tells its story.
Boston, March 1776. Nearly a year has passed since Yankee farmers and British soldiers fought and fell at Lexington and Concord.
Again, the museum's chief historian, Philip Meade.
Well, Washington took to the tented field, as he put it, after the army was victorious in retaking Boston. And he said, when I take to a tent, I shall not soon quit it. And he didn't. Virtually wherever he went through most of the war, he set up a suite of tents, his office tent and sleeping tent, which we have here.
While the battles raged, the Founding Fathers were creating the political framework for the new nation. The Continental Congress adopted the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776. A few days later, Thomas Jefferson's words were read to the people for the first time.
We hold these truths to
In New York City, the Continental Army was waiting for the British attack they knew was coming. The reaction there was swift. The crowd tore down the statue of King George III. The contradiction between the fight for liberty and the reality of slavery during the Revolution is impossible to ignore, and the new museum does not ignore it. Again, Chief Historian Philip Mead.
One of the things we try to do is point out that the Revolution was bigger than the so-called Founding Fathers. There were people pushing the meaning of those words in that second paragraph of the Declaration, that all men are created equal, beyond the boundaries that Jefferson or Washington or Adams might have anticipated.
One of the people who pushed the meaning of Jefferson's words was Elizabeth Freeman, also known as Mom Bett, the first black slave to file and win a suit for freedom in Massachusetts.
Any time while I was a slave, if 1 minute's freedom had been offered to me, and I had been told I must die at the end of that minute, I would have taken it. Just to stand 1 minute on God's earth, a free woman, I would.
People like Mom Bett were American revolutionaries, and they drove the revolution beyond what Jefferson anticipated and toward what I think we now most value about it.
There were more than 400,000 slaves in 1776 when Jefferson wrote, "All men are created equal." That number grew to nearly 4 million in 1860.
Breaking America's poisonous tie to the institution of slavery will only be resolved in civil war, in the loss of nearly 700,000 lives during the war, and thousands more from hunger and disease in the wake of the war's devastation.
And even that didn't end the struggle. It would take another 100 years to secure the legal foundation for full rights of citizenship for African Americans.
What we're trying to do is show people that history is not a settled thing. It's up to the visitor to find their answers to those questions along our path.
The Revolutionary War that started with the battles in Lexington and Concord in 1775 didn't end until the Treaty of Paris was signed in 1783. At the war's beginning, General George Washington had reminded his countrymen that assuming the role of the soldier did not mean setting aside the role of citizen. At the war's end, Washington packed up his tent and returned to his home at Mount Vernon. He arrived on Christmas Eve, 1783. As Philip Mead says, Washington was living up to that reminder from years before.
Washington's most important contribution to the Revolution was stepping down from his office, at first as general and then as president. And the tent is a symbol of that, his packing it up, his bringing it home, and his preservation of the memory of his service, but not continuing his political leadership past when it was useful. And that establishes the primacy of political over military authority in the United States, and ultimately establishes a tradition of the limits on the executive power and the peaceful transition of power in the United States. To have accomplished all of that in one life has made Washington one of the greatest men of the century.
Washington and the other heroes of the Revolution will be celebrated at the new museum today, the 4th of July. Philip Mead says it's a fitting way to keep the spirit of 1776 alive.
I think one of the lessons, perhaps, of the exhibits here is the continuity of our generation to the first revolutionary generation. Like them, we're filled with conflict, disagreement, pushing and pulling. That doesn't negate the revolution. That's part of the revolution. And so rather than looking to them nostalgically for an escape, we need to continue their struggle.
The final exhibit in the museum features photos of veterans of the Revolutionary War. You can look at them and then turn to the adjacent wall where mirrors hang, under the words, "Meet the Future of the American Revolution." For Here and Now, I'm Alex Ashlock.